place, we go from here being more in love with Jesus, love and filled with His power and His strength and might, filled with His love and joy. So when we go out there, we do our own thing not. So that when we go out there, we can live more for Jesus, becoming more involved in advancing His kingdom while we are living here on earth. Amen? Amen. Now, to get a clearer picture of my message this morning, I will be speaking from two of the Gospels, from the Gospel of Mark and from the Gospel of John. I was going to preach, teach something different, but the Holy Spirit has stayed in my heart. He has interrupted, and I had to change my message. We always need to be led by God's Spirit. Amen. See, worry, frustration, stress, and fear has, you know, it's clearly evident that it's crept in even those who belong to Jesus. We can clearly see that people are panicking. You know, when I'm down at the coffee shop, and for last 2 weeks I've been, you know, just asking people that what fears you most, and most of them, their answer was quite similar. It is uncertainty. See, because of fear, Christians, they have struggled to shine for Jesus. And that's what fear brings, friends. It chokes the life out of us, and then we start to panic about this and panic about that, panic about our future, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what are we going to wear. You know, we panic about our children. That's a big one, isn't it? What's going to happen to our children? We no longer then live by faith. We start to walk, you know, in fear, and so we live by sight. Friends, let me encourage us through the Word of God this morning to those who are struggling in this area of being fearful. See, in John and chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it says, when evening came, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, it says, and Jesus had not yet come to them. Friends, you might be familiar with God's promise in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5, where it says that I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. But there are still times in a Christian person's life when it feels like that God, He is far away from us. I wonder if you ever felt in your own Christian life that God has left you. See, God never abandons His people, those who are in relationship with Him. But sometimes He hides His presence from us. Isaiah says in chapter 45 and verse 15, truly you are a God who hides Himself. And when God hides Himself, by definition, we cannot feel His presence. We look for Him, but we do not feel His immediate nearness towards us. It feels like as if He has left us. He is far away from us. And when Christians get in some kind of dark place, come to, you know, some kind of trouble in their life, we very often ask this question, why is God far away from me when I need Him the most? Now, some of you right now, you might be facing some kind of trouble in life, and you must be asking the question, God, where are you? God, where are you? See, this experience of spiritual desertion is one of the greatest tests of a Christian's faith. And you are not the only Christian, my friend, who has experienced this. We find it all over the Psalms. Let me read a couple of them to you. Psalm 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The very time when I need you the most, why is it that I cannot find you?" Or Psalm chapter 22 and verse 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near and there is none to help." Psalm 38 verse 21, "Do not forsake me, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me." And perhaps the most striking of all, Psalm 22 and verse 1, the words from David's lips, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Of course, these words had a unique meaning. Jesus, he spoke them from the cross, but before they were on the lips of our Lord, our God and Savior, Jesus, it came from the lips of David. The man after God's own heart knew what it is to feel like that God has forsaken him. Amen. Friend, when did you last feel like that God is far from you? See, what I would like us to see from this story, that sometimes when we are in darkness, Jesus Christ may seem very far away. John in chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing." Now, let me take us back before this situation occurred. The disciples had enjoyed an amazing day with Jesus. The glory of Jesus had been wonderfully revealed in the multiplying of the loaves and of the fish. And the disciples had the privilege of acting as runners for Jesus, receiving the bread and the fish from his very hand and giving it to the people. But a dark shadow was cast over the day, because when the crowd saw that what Jesus was able to do, they wanted to use him for their own agenda, which was to overthrow the Roman regime. John chapter 6 verse 15, it says, they wanted to take him by force to make him king, and Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself. Now, friends, Jesus, he will never allow himself to be manipulated. He will never be captured, for anyone else's agenda. Those who try to use him always at the end will lose him. Then we read in John in chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, that when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. Now, Matthew and Mark, friends, give us some additional information. Mark chapter 6 and verse 45 says, "Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake of Bethsaida." Before Jesus withdrew to the mountain by himself, he dispatched the disciples. He made them to get into the boat. That's strong language. It's like, "You guys get out of here." You can understand the agency of Jesus here. He recognized that the people were about to take him by force and make him king. He knew what was in their hearts. And if Peter and the other disciples caught wind of this, that they could have followed, well, they could have agreed with the crowds. Don't you think so? Jesus sees this coming, so he removes himself from the scene and then withdraws to the mountain by himself. So when the disciples got into the boat, friends, they were acting in obedience to Jesus. He told them what to do, and they did it. And obedience to Jesus led them to a dark and a scary place. Don't know about you, friend, but I have experienced this many times in my own Christian faith. See, obedience to Jesus brought them to a dark and a scary place where a storm was brewing. Friends, has obeying Jesus ever brought you to a dark and a scary place? Do you think that Jesus is seeing your struggles? John chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, his disciples got into the boat, and it says, it was now dark and Jesus has not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. Now notice the experience of the disciples that's been described over here. This is the Christian experience being described. Number one, it was dark. Number two, the wind was against them. And number three, Jesus has not yet come. Now the disciples had faced storms before. They experienced a raging storm when Jesus was with them in the boat. And though Jesus, he was sleeping for a while, you know, he woke up and he commanded in Mark in chapter 4, verse 39, it says, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Mark 4 and 41, it says, the disciples were astonished and said, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? But the obvious difference in this story is that Jesus is not with them in the boat. The storm blows on and on through the night. And that's the point. The storm blows on and on through the night, and it has not stopped. And John in chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, it was evening when they set sail. And Mark tells us on his account of this incident, it says that Jesus did not come until the fourth watch of the night, sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning. What that means is simply this, friends, the disciples spent the entire night straining at the oars. Why did Jesus allow this storm to continue? Jesus, he can calm any storm. Why did he allow them to strain at the oars all night in the darkness? Why did he wait for so long before he came to his disciples? We are told specifically, friends, in Mark in chapter 6 and verse 48, he saw that they are straining at the oars. If Jesus sees them struggling, why doesn't he come and give them help and relief? That's what at stake in this story. Now, friends, I want to suggest that this story gives a very clear insight of, firstly, Christian experience, secondly, Christian confidence, and then thirdly, Christian comfort. It speaks powerfully to every Christian believer, the experience of when you find yourself in dark place as a follower of Jesus Christ. And the wind is against you, and you say, Lord, how long, how long, how long? Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Friend, what we are learning here is that The life of a disciple will not be an experience of an unbroken series of miracles. Yeah, there are times in our Christian life where we will see Jesus at work in remarkable ways. There will be times when you will experience, direct and awesome deliverance, as the disciples did when Jesus was with them in the boat and he calmed the storm. But friends, surely the story is teaching us that there will be other times in Christians' experience when the storm continues, it goes on and on and on through the night. And your calling is to just keep pulling on the oars. The depression that just will not lift, the illness that simply is not relieved, the problems that just doesn't get solved, the prayer in all of your pleading yet remains unanswered, the family member who is running away from the truth. And we are learning that this is a part of a Christian believer's experience too. Amen. The reality of screaming and having sleepless nights. I've been there. Have you? See, we live in a fallen wall, and the Christian life is not a series of unbroken miracles. Secondly, the disciples are learning here that they must walk by faith and not by sight. Remember, the disciples enjoyed the great blessing of having the visible presence of Jesus with them. They enjoyed having Jesus with them in the boat. Here, the disciples are learning what we also must learn, that we cannot depend on the visible presence of Jesus. They, like us, will need to trust Jesus even they no longer can see him. Amen. They, like us, must walk by faith and not by sight. And friends, they and we also must learn that there will be some times when the wind will be blowing against us. What do you do when you find yourself in a dark place and Jesus Christ has not given you any relief? When the wind and the waves are against you, you are rowing and rowing and rowing and you are making little progress. See, the disciples were straining at the oars all night. John tells us in chapter 6 and verse 19 that they had rowed 3 or 4 miles. Their arms must have been exhausted. After all their effort, there were no closer to shore. Amen. If you are rowing in a storm, my friend, it is very difficult to move forward. Simply to hold your position against the force of the wind and the strong current of the water, it's going to take all of your strength. It's going to take all of your strength. There is a phrase that often used by highly successful people, usually people who have done really well in life. If you are not going forward, you are going backwards. Easy to say that, friend, from a position of strength. And while there is some truth in the principle, it's not always the case. Paul speaks in Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 13 about the day of evil. See, not every day will be the day of evil, but there will be some days when Satan throws everything at the believer. Amen? The wind will be just blowing with such force. Disagreement with your spouse, been there? kids driving you crazy, pressure at work, news from your doctor, and so on and so on. And your immediate thought can be, what wrong am I doing? What wrong am I doing? And you just want to throw the towel and say, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't take it anymore. If you are a Christian for more than 10 years, more than 5 years, actually more than 1 year, more than 6 months, you would have experienced this. When you encounter any of these normal Christian experiences, here is the answer, friend. Ephesians 6:13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not every day is a day of evil, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Need to just stand your ground in this hope, my friend, that Jesus is seeing and he will come. Mark 6:48, it says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Here are some things you must remember when you are struggling in the storm of life. Jesus sees you, my friend. Jesus sees you. Mark 6:48, it says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Here's the beautiful truth. Jesus may be beyond the range of your sight, but you are never beyond the range of his. He sees you and he knows what you are enduring as you are straining at the oars. Amen. And here is another of the beautiful, beautiful truth about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only he sees you, but Jesus, he intercedes for you. What was Jesus doing, when the disciples were out there, at the storm, straining at the oars? Mark tells us that he took leave from them, Mark 6:46. Why? Because it says he went up to the mountain to pray. The disciples are facing the storm, and Jesus is in another place. He took leave from them. But friends, he is not just sitting down and relaxing and chilling out. He is praying for you and for me. Amen. He is praying for his disciples. Jesus stands in the presence of the Father on your behalf. He intercedes for you so that the strength that you need, for the storms that you face will be given to you. He is praying for you. Today, Jesus, he is praying for you. He always lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, it says, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The truth is that if I could hear Jesus praying in the next room, I will not fear a million enemies. Amen? Friends, distance should not make no difference. He is praying for us. Distance should not make any difference. He is praying for us. He prays for us so that we can gain the strength to endure the storm and the great darkness that we are facing right now. Friends, take heart from this beautiful truth and do not allow the enemy to bring doubt in your minds, as he often likes to do. Now remember the truth, not only Jesus sees you, not only Jesus is praying for you, but he also can reach out to you. Friend, Jesus can reach out to you. Surely, this is the significance of Jesus walking on the water. John tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 22 that the following morning, the crowds came back to look for Jesus. The crowd saw that there had been only one boat there, only one boat, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, that his disciples had gone alone. It's been clear to the crowds that there was only one boat in the harbor, no other boat. The disciples took their boat and they were in a storm on the lake, no other boat. So how could Jesus get to the disciples? He walked on water. He walked on water. In other words, my friend, this story is telling us that there is no place, no circumstances, however dark, however dangerous, where Jesus Christ cannot reach you. No storm can ever cut you off from your Savior who loves you and the Savior who intercedes for you. You might come to some dark place and scary place in your life, and you definitely will. You definitely will as a believer of Jesus Christ. But no darkness will ever place you beyond the love of Jesus and beyond the power of Jesus, who died to save you and lives to keep you. See, that is a Christian's experience. There will be some dark times, some scary times, sometimes when the wind will be blowing against you and it is hard to make progress. But Jesus sees you. He intercedes for you, my friend, and you are never, never, never beyond his reach. Also notice that we are given not only the Christian's experience of life, but also to a Christian's confidence when the moment comes for all of us to face death. And some of us sitting over here, you know, you had a near experience. I myself, Russ, Trevor himself went through some hardship. Even, you know, Elijah, he went through some. And there's many of you. Anthony, of course. Where is he? He's not here today. But he went through a, praise God, eh? What a strong man of God. Still climbing those stairs. See, it says, look at John in chapter 6 in verse 19 and 20. It says, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were frightened. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. See, there will come a time in our life, friends, where we all will face death. There's times when an unacceptable situation could happen, where just all of a sudden you are stuck in a situation where fear can creep in like it did to these disciples. And for most of us, as we are getting older, I know you're going to say, speak for yourself, Joe. But as most of us, as we are getting older, fear can start to creep in, right? Friends, if you have come to a place where you think that your life is slipping away, your first instinct will be to be afraid. But remember that in our death, Jesus, our Savior, comes and he meets us there to take us home. Do not be afraid. Death for a Christian is Jesus coming to take us home. It is beautifully, beautifully, uniquely pictured right here in this story. And I think that is the significance of John in chapter 6 and verse 21. It says, then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately, notice that word, immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going, like a miracle within a miracle here. That is not our normal experience in life, right? That suddenly the storm is taken away. See, it is the most wonderful thing what happens to a Christian person in death, when we feel that our life is slipping away, Jesus comes immediately and takes us home. Amen. No wonder David said, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, it is I. Now friends, there is something very wonderful here for a Christian's comfort. I say this because it, in an extraordinary way, this story points us to what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. See, what the disciples experienced on the lake points us to what Jesus endured on the cross. The disciples were in darkness at night, but when Jesus, he hung on the cross, darkness came over the whole land at noon. See, the suffering of Jesus, friends, speaks volumes in people's life. When you say to someone who is suffering that one day Jesus, he will come in his glory, and that is a wonderful and glorious truth. It is. But a more powerful comfort comes to a believer by knowing that Jesus Christ, our Savior, knows what suffering is because he has already been there. Amen? Amen. See, Jesus knows what it is to suffer in darkness. And when you find yourself, my friend, in great darkness today, know this, that Jesus Christ is the Savior for you. The disciples strained their limbs as they pulled on the oars all night. The limbs of Jesus were torn out of joint when he hung on that cross. Psalm 23, all my bones are out of joints. When you are exhausted and you wonder, how long do I have to endure this? I say to you, Jesus Christ, the Savior who has been there for you, he knows how to endure death because the death was a painful death. Amen? The disciples faced a storm without Jesus with them in the boat, and at the height of the of his agony on the cross, Jesus, he cried out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you should, my friend, come to a place where you feel that God is far from you, where you feel that you can't see him anymore, you can't, you can't feel his presence anymore, I want you to take this in. Jesus, he has been there and he is the Savior for you. There may be times in the Christian life where you feel that the darkness that surrounds you will never end, but I tell you, Jesus went into the darkness so that he may be the shining light for you. There may be times where you find the force of wind blowing against you and you feel exhausted and you feel that you are making no progress. I tell you, the eyes of our Savior Jesus is upon you. He intercedes for you, my friend, and he will give you the strength to endure. And there may be time it feels that God has deserted you. And his promise for us is that, you know, I tell you that the Jesus on the cross was forsaken by the Father. And his promise for us is that I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. He will come to us, friends. Are you in relationship with Jesus today? I want you to call upon his name. The Bible says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, through the Spirit that's living in you, call upon him and he will come to you. And the last thing to say is this, and I want us to hear this, you know, clearly and properly. The disciples faced the storm because of their obedience to Jesus, but some storms also can come in our life because of our disobedience to Jesus. I want to say this very, very, you know, loudly and carefully so that you can hear it properly. And the problems and the frustrations and the heartaches that comes because of our disobedience, to God, that's not from God. Those troubles and those heartaches of life comes because we are not following the ways of God. We are not following Jesus. Satan has thrown that to you because you have chosen to follow him. We have given attention to Satan's voice and, you know, took the bait that he threw at us. We have walked into the devil's cage and we have become his slave. Maybe something or someone has taken the place of Jesus in your life. That's all I can think of. That's all I can think of. Could be our family. Could be our children. Parents, I want to say this. Love your children, but don't make them your gods. You know, those little angels or even the older angels. They're not angels, they're sinners saved by grace. If they are saved. If they're not saved, pray that they will be saved. That the revelation of Jesus may come in their life so that they can receive Jesus in their life. Amen? No one's born a Christian, man. We are all born sinners. Could be our children. Could be our work. You know, we work so hard. Australia is such a blessed country where, you know, we can make some big bucks, man. Big bucks. We work hard and hard and hard. And the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. Is money your God, my friend? Go and sit with God and say, come and examine my heart. What's in my heart? Has money taken over? I tell you, my friend, I have seen many people chase after money and then they went away from Jesus. And they're paying the price now. Could be money. Could be bad company. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good morals. Let me say this to you. Don't tell me that you're going and hanging around those friends because you want to tell them about Jesus, but you are behaving like them. Jesus, when he went and told people about, you know, the kingdom of God, he did not sin. Could be bad company, could be drugs and alcohol, could be something that we shouldn't be watching. I want to say this nice and loud and clear, my friend. If you have a problem with that, go and pray. Some pastors have fallen in this area because they are watching what they're not supposed to be watching. Marriages have been broken because of this. Go and pray and allow God to give you the strength. He can. He can. Amen? See, Satan, you know, could come and have a grip over those things. You went and you thought that, you know, I'm going to just go and taste it and I'm going to come back. And now it has become a lifestyle of sin. Satan has got you. Remember at the beginning of my message, I said that I want all of us going from here, this place, filled with God's power and might and peace and joy. But my friend, if you have a sin in your life that you are not willing to deal, you will not go from this place with God's peace. You can't if you belong to Jesus. You need to deal with it right now. Amen. Listen, friend, if you have become comfortable with something that God calls sin, I want you to hear this challenge. If you are at peace with God, then you are at war with your sin, and that's great because through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are fighting with sin. That's good. But if you are at peace with your sin, then you are at war with God. You don't want to fight him, man. You'll never win. You'll never come victorious. Friends, Jesus, he wants to rescue us from all fears. But the fear that comes because of sin, for that fear to go out, we need godly fear to come in. Amen? Some of us over here, we need to pray to God that God bring some godly fear in me so that I don't sin anymore. If you want to live a victorious life, if you want to be used by God, I'm telling you, you can't use by God if you have sin in your life. You need to repent of that sin so that God can use you. Amen? We will need to repent of that sin and we need to call upon the name of Jesus and we need to say that, God, I hate living my life without your awesome presence that once I knew as an obedient child of God. God, please forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. But not only forgive me, give me the power to overcome that particular sin. Because no point repenting over here and going back to that sin. There's no point. Amen? Why don't you all stand up? I don't want anyone to go from this room with condemnation, friends. That's not my heart. I want us to go with God's power so that we can go and live. We can go and tell people about Jesus. For it's been easy. You know, Christians are being victims. We shouldn't be the victims. We should be victorious, living a victorious life. But let me read this scripture. It's an encouraging scripture, and then we can pray. In Romans 8:15, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." In Romans 8:18, one of my favorite, it always reminds me who I belong to and where I am going. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your amazing love, your mercy, your grace, and your kindness. Thank you, O God, for revealing the truth in our hearts and sending your Son, Jesus Christ, in our life, who came and died for our sins and made us being grafted into the family of God. And I pray, Jesus, that may you will help us, O God, Father, to trust you. Lord, increase our faith so that we don't, Father, trust of the things of this world, but we will trust in you and you alone. We will, Father, know and know that you are for us and you are not against us. And when any storms and troubles come in our way, we will not panic and try to do it in our own strength, O God, but we will call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is higher and bigger than any other name. And Jesus, as we have seen through your word, you see us, you see our struggles. You are waiting for us to call upon you, O God, Father. Come and, Father, speak to us, O God, and may we not lean upon our own understanding, O God, but we will trust the one who is able to bring victory in our life, O God. Father, I just want to pray, O God, Father, that those who are suffering in the area of being fearful, for many things, oh God, Father, could be even for death, Father, Lord God, Jesus. It could be, oh God, making things meet, oh God, things are tough, we know, but we know that you are our provider. Father, I pray that you will bring them such peace and comfort that they will know and know that our God can provide. Our God can, you know, take the water out from the desert. Oh, Father, you have proven yourself to us in many occasions. May we not fear, oh God. And I want to pray, oh God, Father, that people who are struggling in the areas of sin, I pray, Jesus, that they will come to that acknowledgement. They will, Father, own that. And they say, I have a problem in this area. I need your help. They will call upon your name, oh God. They will sit with you. They will say, come and examine my heart. I pray, Father, that Christians will not walk in ignorance, oh God, Father, because there is an enemy who wants to destroy them and kill them, oh God. I pray, Father, that they will walk in the light that you have called them to walk, oh God. And lastly, I want to pray this, oh God, Father, for all of us, for speaking the gospel, oh God, to the fallen world. Take the fear out from us. Lord Jesus, bring boldness that we may be able to proclaim the gospel. We may be able to come and say, follow me as I follow Christ. We may be the shining light that you have called us to be, oh God. There are people out there, they are dying every day and they're going to hell. And thank you, Jesus, that you have not, Father, put us in an island where there is no one. We got people around us who need saving, oh God, Father. May we will be your vessels, oh God, used in a mighty way. Open our mouths, oh God, I cry out. Take fear out so that your name can be proclaimed, oh God, Father. Like Paul said, oh God, Father, my ambition is, oh God, Father, for the advancement of the kingdom, for the gospel to go forth. Oh, Father, I pray, Jesus, that we will not be those selfish people who wants to go heaven on our own, alone, oh God. Once somebody saved us, oh God, you saved us through someone. May we will be that, Father, living testimony, oh God, Father. Father, do not let the enemy come and rob the testimony from us. May we will be building, Father, the testimony upon your foundation, oh God, so that it can speak volumes, oh God. I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, Lord. Amen.